Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Margo. Thanks. Morning. Hey, welcome back. Good to have you back. You're all like, nah. It's like, you know, the break that's like the prequel to the larger break that's coming, so it's sometimes hard to come back, right? Hey, but I've got good news for you this morning. You see, you're not alone. We, as the people of God, are people who have a history of waiting. We have a history of longing for things and a history of expecting things. I'm going to read some words from the prophet Isaiah this morning. I want you to listen for the longing and the expectation in these words. And keep in mind that they were written in a time when the Jewish people were in exile, in captivity of the Babylonians. So they are longing for freedom. Hear these words. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, and the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God but you, who works for those who wait for him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Perhaps some of you are aware that as a church, as a body of Christ, we have entered into a new season, and in fact, it's the beginning of our year, so it would be appropriate to say to one another, Happy New Year today. You see, yesterday kicked off the season of Advent, which is one of the seasons in the church's liturgical year. And Advent is the season that comes up that leads up to Christmas. It starts the fourth Sunday before Christmas and is in that time between now and Christmas Day. The word Advent, for you word junkies, which I know there's at least one or two of you out there, is derived from the Latin word Adventus, which means arrival or approach. And it's made up of the preposition ad, adventus, which means to or towards, and the verbal root ven, which comes from venire, which means to come. And for those of you Spanish people, you'll hear the connection there from the Spanish language. And the suffix is tus, indicating a verbal action, adventus, advent. Verbal action indicates that it's an active season of waiting for us. And if there's anything that our culture needs, I think it's to learn to wait well. We don't wait well. And Advent reminds us not just that we're to wait, but for what we are waiting. We're not waiting for the newest, shiniest, brightest, coolest, fastest, insert whatever you're hoping to get for Christmas this year. We are waiting for a Savior. So we wait. But we don't usually wait well. You see, media and technology kind of ensure that this is almost impossible to do. Has anyone seen the commercials for this? I don't even know, is it a phone, a new phone or new texting something where in the commercial everything kind of happens before real life happens? You know, people are like, hey, Bob is leaving the work. And as, you know, they say that, there's like a cake coming out for his going away party and all that. So everything is happening fast. And like, oh, that was so 4 seconds ago. It's fascinating to me and super disturbing. Because what's happening is people are starting to live in a technologicalized, I made that up, word, world, and not living in real life. Just this past weekend, I had a really interesting experience with technology and football. It was after Thanksgiving meal, and we went down to watch the Lions game, which had started, much to my brother's chagrin. We didn't get the meal done before kickoff, but thankfully he's got DVR, right? So the hardcore people go into the basement to watch the game from the beginning, where some people stayed upstairs to watch it live. I went to the basement, not because I'm hardcore, but because I just wanted to go into the basement. So I was down there watching the game, and all of a sudden my nephew comes downstairs. And he had been upstairs, and I actually was there when I saw this happen, and the TV flipped on, and right away it shows 7-0 Packers. And he goes, oh no, 7-0. Super distraught. So I go downstairs, and a little bit later he comes, you know, down the stairs, and he looks at the TV down there, and he goes, it's not 0-0. And everybody's like, shh, it's, you know, it's okay. He's like, it's 7-0. And they're like, oh, we don't want to know. And he's like, the Packers have 7. And everyone's like, ah. Well, 3 people were like, ah. Now, what happened next was absolutely fascinating to me. Rather than just go ahead and catch up to where it's 7-0, we watched the game as if we didn't know what was going to happen. I'm not kidding you. People are cheering. Like, come on, you can do this. You can get this. I'm like, you know they don't get this touchdown. Because it's 0-0, and they somehow end up behind, right? I actually said something. I was like, this is stupid. I don't understand why we're doing this. And my brother said to me, Kate, I just want to see how it happens. I want to see how it comes to be. I thought it was ridiculous. As I thought about it more, though, I thought there was something kind of cool about it. Even though we knew what the outcome was going to be, they were really curious to see how it happened, to kind of participate in it, to not just simply get to what we know was going to happen. In the story of Advent, in the story of Christmas, is one that we've heard before. It's one where, in some respects, we know the outcome. And sometimes it's easy just to fast forward to get there. But we miss out then on all that happens in between. I bet right now, all of you could think of something that you are waiting for. Some of you are waiting for a text. Some of you are waiting to find out if you've been accepted. You're waiting for tests to be over. And once the exams are over, you then wait for the results. Some are waiting for love. Some are waiting for a cure. Some are waiting in line to get a hot meal or a place to sleep. Some are waiting for the war in their country to end so they can return home. And many in this country are waiting for loved ones to return home. Sometimes it seems that all of life is simply waiting. We don't like to wait. Waiting is hard. Advent is a season of waiting, and so we wait. But Advent is also a season of hope. And we hope. We hope for a new day. We hope for new beginnings. We hope for new hopes. We hope for a time where we'll no longer have to wait. And interestingly, I know I've shared this before, but I find it fascinating. The word to hope and the word to wait are often similar in other languages. In fact, the same. We see it in Spanish, esperar, to wait, to hope. And we see it in the Hebrew, tikva. So Isaiah could have said, from ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God but you, who works for the people who hope for him. And hope's a funny thing. It's not simply wishful thinking or a positive attitude. No, it's not just optimism. Hope is based on memories, Hope is based on God's faithfulness in the past, trusting that God will again be faithful in the future. And that is why we get together to tell the stories, to remind ourselves that we are a people who are still waiting for a Savior. But the good news is for us that we know that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. We know how this is going to end. But do we wait well for it? Not sitting idly by, but being active as we wait, participating in the story. So we don't just simply sit by and watch to see how it happens, but we are the ones who help make it happen. We are the ones who can live into it now, this coming kingdom of Christ. We are the ones who are the people of God who wait, but we also hope. So my challenge for us in this season of Advent is to do something that helps you learn how to wait. Maybe you need to take a break from things that make it hard to wait. Maybe you cut back on your texting or your time on Facebook. You slow down. Maybe you take the time to walk to class instead of drive. Maybe you simply take 2 or 3 or 5 minutes in the morning to simply breathe and be aware that you are in the presence of God. You see, because as we learn to live in the present, we learn to become awake and alive to God present with us even now. One of the ways we symbolize this as a body of believers is with an Advent wreath. Some of you have maybe seen this before. We've had one for the past couple years here in chapel, and they use them in various churches as well. Advent wreath is made up of 4 candles. One is lit each week on the Sunday coming prior to Christmas, and then the 4th candle, the Christ candle, is lit on Christmas Day. The wreath symbolizes many things. It's in a circle, symbolizing God's ending love. And as the light grows, we're reminded that we indeed are a people who are in darkness, but that there is a light coming. It's a beautiful symbol. And it's true, we are not together physically up until Christmas, so we won't have the chance in our worship to see the wreath fully lit. But I encourage you, if this is something that you are drawn to when you get home, maybe grab some candles. Do this with your family. Do this with your friends. And be mindful that Christ's light is coming into the world even as we wait for him now. So as we light the candle, we will participate in a responsive reading. So I invite you to stand now. And this is something we will do at each of our worship services from now until we break for Christmas. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." We light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ. We light this candle in hope. The hope of our coming Savior, Jesus. Prepare then the way of the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, our light and our salvation. Let us walk in the light of the Lord.